You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Sunday's edition of the podcast is what we are going to be discussing over the course of the next few minutes or so, with racing in Salisbury and Doncaster domestically, and Goran Park and Dan Patrick over at the Irish Sea. Racing Radio is live from 1:25 for those four meetings with Mark Walton, Andy Gibson and Tom Morley in the studio. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. But joining me on today's edition of the podcast is the aforementioned Andy Gibson. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Sam. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, not too bad. Enjoying your... I suppose this is a bit of downtime for you this period of the year, isn't it? Are you enjoying the break?
Well, I'm still working. I just don't work long hours.
Right.
I work 20 or 30 hours a week in the summer, do a little bit of research for next winter. I'm currently writing a summer jumps article every week for Out the Races on outtheraces.com. So that one's on there today if anybody wants to watch that.
Very good.
Anyone wants to read that? I just started that last week, so that's quite new. That's going to run through till, I don't know, September, October, something like that. Gives me a nice interest.
Yeah, keeping your keeping the mind sharp, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. And at the moment, I've got such a bad back, I can't play golf, so I need some.
Right, okay. We're going to be looking at Sunday's racing in just a moment or two's time. Obviously, got Royal Ascot coming up next week, and I know there was a horse that you were quite keen on. Should he turn up in the Duke of Edinburgh? Not entered for that race, but let us know the horse anyway, because I gather this is potentially one for next time.
I hope so. It's a horse of Michael Stout's called Sextant. Ran on Derby Day. I'm guessing that the only reason he ran on Derby Day was because the owner was present and they wanted a runner.
Yep.
The way he was ridden that day would support that notion, I think, in that to me, what happened that day was, you know, Ryan Moore put him in a position where if they came back to him enough, he'd be thereabouts.
Yeah.
Or have his chance. And once it was clear that the leaders weren't coming back to him, I thought he was quite easy on the horse, relatively speaking. I'm sure Royal Ascot was the aim. I was hoping he was going for the Duke of Edinburgh.
Yep.
I don't know why he isn't or why he's not in there. Well, let's see what happens there. But he's certainly a very well handicapped horse. And the great thing with him is he's got the sort of the double whammy. He's very well handicapped and he's got that lovely fourth place finish, like apparently a disappointing effort next to his name.
Yeah, when he was a beaten favour as well.
Yeah, and I just think that on that day, you know, he would have won if he could have won, but I think I was expecting him to be ridden a lot more positively at Ascot.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see anyway.
Yeah. I'm in a minor sulk with the horse because it cost me the place pot that day. And my two horses in that race finished... I thought they finished fourth and fifth, but having revisited the race, they finished fourth and sixth, which is always annoying in the last leg of the place pot. But you can't let emotion get involved, can you? So I'm sulking with the horse, but he's got a chance to repay me now.
Yeah, and it's funny when we look back at our horses, how they always finish further ahead than we think they did.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, absolutely. So maybe Sextant one to focus on. Will you be watching much of the racing next week?
Of course, I'm a massive fan. Yeah, it's going back quite a number of years. But you know, I prepared a whole book purely for my own joy of trends for all of the group races all through the flat season. You know, I mean, I spent about 6 months writing.
Right.
And I've still got it at home in the attic somewhere.
Yeah.
But, and it was 10-year trends.
Okay.
So this would have been in the 1980s, I did this. And it was fascinating going through it. And so I know the framework of the flat season very well. I just choose not to get that involved with the intimate form study because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I just don't want to be spending 12 months of the year just doing nothing else apart from, you know, watching horses go around in a circle. So
some people would love that.
Well, and maybe some younger people would love that. Yes. You know, I'm frighteningly enough, I'm 60 next year. So
really,
yeah, that's the last thing I want to be doing for 12 months and 30 days a month as well.
Right.
So yeah, so no, it's great for me. I mean, I work very long hours in the winter.
Yeah,
and you know, I'm still working 20 or 30 hours a week in the summer. But I mean, you know, and to a lot of people, that would be a full time job. Mm. So you know, I do enough.
Will you be donning the top hat and tails, or will you be enjoying it on the TV next week?
Yeah, I'll be enjoying it on the TV for certain. I certainly wouldn't be doing the top hat and tails.
I suppose you could do both if you were.
You could if you were
sad. Of that mind. Yeah,
you
yeah.
could if you were sad, or you know, I mean, they are. I mean, it looks a pretty. It's not often you see a man and you think he looks really good in that top hat. And
absolutely,
tails.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. There's no way really to look. To look cool or stylish in a top hat, is there really?
No. You could be very rude about it, but we won't be.
Yeah, tradition plays a massive part in horse racing.
It is, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's not something I'm into, so it's...
likewise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there you go. It is what it is.
Yeah, indeed. I was thrilled a couple of years ago. I was at York, and it was the first time in years and years and years that they allowed gentlemen to remove their jackets because it was 30-something degrees.
This was at Ascot, was it?
No, this was at York a few years ago. Sure, yeah. And they're just a real stickler for the rules there, because in prior years, having taken a jacket off, there'd be a steward coming over to you and, you know, you put that back on, sir. But we were granted permission a couple of years ago because it was so hot.
Well, it was interesting that you qualified in the definition of a gentleman.
Well, yeah, indeed. On the bright side, someone called me sir, which was which is always nice.
You were about 13 at the time.
Let's turn attention on to Sunday's action then. As I say, we've got four meetings coming up on Racing Radio from 1:25 in the company of Mark Walton. Andy will be back as well alongside Tom Morley. Salisbury, Doncaster, Goran Park and Dan Patrick are the races. We're going to look at a couple of races at Doncaster though. And fingers crossed, Andy can point in the direction of a winner or two. Starting with the 2:10, first race of the day there. This is a handicap just shy of a mile is the Trip. Talk us through this one, please.
Yeah, and the horse that I was interested in to small stakes, I would have to say, is a horse called Wofford, who showed improved form last time out after wind surgery. If he maintains the quality of that run, then he'd have every chance here. It doesn't tend to get too soft at Doncaster, but you know, I think that would be, you know, if it poured down tomorrow morning, I would be wary of him.
Yeah.
But as things stand, if there is no further rain and it dries from the soft that it is at the moment to sort of soft, good to soft, you know, I would take a chance on Wofford in the first to maintain that improvement from that first run after a wind-up.
Wofford then for Charlie Hills and Dane O'Neill in the 2:10. And then the second race on the card at Tamworth is the 2:45. This is a novice stakes for the fillies over 7 furlongs. Few newcomers in this race, a few that have had a few runs as well. What have you unearthed in this one?
Well, it's a funny race in terms of guessing what the market is, because the horse I'm going for is actually the one with form. I tend to prefer to go, certainly with two-year-olds, I tend to prefer to go with horses that have shown a level of form, and Sacred Dance has certainly done that, shown a reasonable level of form. Difficult to gauge what sort of price you'll be, because obviously you've got a Mark Johnson newcomer in there, a Willie Haggis newcomer, and you've got a Roger Varian newcomer, so you only need, you know, plenty of whispers to fly around, and Sacred Dance could find herself as the second favourite or even the third favourite. I think as things stand at the moment, you'd expect it to be shorter than 2-1, and she might be a lot shorter, you know, depending on how much the others are fancied. What I liked about her was that Haydock on her first run, she lost ground at the start. The Racing Post notes say fly jumped, but she certainly, when you see it, she certainly lost a significant amount of momentum. She was all over the place when she was challenging, and you know, as soon as you saw that race, you thought, God, she's got to be an improver and a significant improver. Fully expected to improve more than average. The run was a perfectly decent one. She was only beaten 3/4 of a length and ahead. I mean, Mark Johnson's horse was second, Perfect Rose, so he'll have a little line into this with his Golden Times in this race. But I thought Sacred Dance was I was so confident she would improve significantly from that first run that I'm happy to have a pop at her, even though she's a little bit short.
Okay, Sacred Dance then in the 2:45 race at Doncaster alongside Woofford in the 2:10 race at Doncaster. You can hear Andy's thoughts, of course, on all of Sunday's racing. He'll be back in the studio with Mark Walton and Tom Morley from 1:25. But for now, thank you very much for that, Andy, and enjoy Ascot next week.
Lovely. Cheers, then.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.